Thank you for pressing play. You are listening to a sponsored podcast series produced by Think Tenacity Podcast, funded by Greenwich Mental Health Hub, which is a service run in partnership with Bromley, Lewisham and Greenwich Mind, Oxley NHS and Bridge Support. Guys, tune in to our special podcast series of 3 episodes and a bonus episode. We are excited to announce group support for generational trauma and Black mental health is now available. Just visit thinktenacitypodcast.com and sign up free today, as spaces are limited.
I am Madeleine Joy Cameron. I am a drama therapist.
In your role as a drama therapist, what is drama therapist and how can that help trauma and anxiety?
So drama therapy is a psychotherapy, similarly to talking therapies. It also will come under creative arts therapies. It stands alongside music therapists, art therapists, movement therapists. Yeah, so they stand alongside one another. In particularly with my practice within drama therapy, it can help people that have racial trauma, generational trauma. I would say mainly through the act of storytelling. Within most Black culture, storytelling is such a strong part of it.
It is in our culture, definitely.
Yeah, so it's a way of being able to express, to open up, and even to gather the stories from generations and bring it back and then sort of exploring that. What did it mean for them then? And what does that mean for you now? And how do you, where do you hold that? And how do you hold that within your day-to-day life, personally, spiritually, perhaps? But it also, drama therapy also leaves a space for people not to speak, you know, to perhaps create a creative piece of writing, a drawing, a piece of movement that can explain and express, explore what their life is like, how they feel without using words, because sometimes it is very hard to talk about the trauma that you feel or the trauma that you have experienced, you know?
Where some people may not have experienced therapy, this is more or less an easier way to maybe express yourself and doing it in a creative form so yeah, that you're able to release triggers or deal with symptoms better. So when you are performing drama therapy for a client, is this something you do face-to-face or can it be done via Zoom?
It's both. You can do it face-to-face and you can do it through Zoom. I would always say with any type of therapy that it would be better to do it face-to-face because you are able to, both from the therapist and from the client, you're able to sense, you know, what the person is feeling, especially as a therapist. I think it's important to you know, really understand how this person is feeling, which is harder to do with a screen blocking, you know, a person. And you're able to create more because the therapist can then bring in their tools, you know, whether that be pens, pencils, materials, music, to the actual space and to actively create the safe space and bring the things for somebody to, you know, do the therapy with. And then with Zoom, it's a bit more of a restriction, but there is still that space to feel contained and to use such things like the whiteboard functions on Zoom. But then it can also be easier for somebody to express themselves having a slight barrier of the screen.
That makes so much sense for somebody who's never experienced therapy. When you take on new clients, do you give a free consultation first before they come on board? And how does that work?
Yes. So free consultations, they're about half an hour. And it's just a general chat of what's the issue, you know? I'd like to know a bit more about you, you know, what your situation is, the life that you're living. Are you employed, unemployed, self-employed, part-time, full-time, the type of job that you're doing, what you know about therapy. I think that's a very important question to ask about what they know about therapy, because some people's understanding of therapy might be so far from what therapy is, or there might be no understanding of what therapy is. And then, then understanding about the symptoms. What are your symptoms, you know, and how do you feel about that? And perhaps a small understanding of what their goals are. What is it that you want from me? What do you want to achieve? How can we work together in partnership for therapy to be successful?
What would you say to members of the Black community who feel alone when they're struggling with mental health and also struggling to seek help?
You are not alone in this, and that it is hard to seek help, especially if you are unsure of what it is that you are facing, that you are dealing with. And especially if they don't have a good connection, say with their GP, or like the healthcare services in general, but putting, you know, their faith in it and trying to access the help, and just by talking to somebody about it, even if it's, you know, your neighbor, that neighbor might be the person that will be able to help you and to champion you throughout your journey in finding the help that you need. But then if you can't face somebody face to face or up front, or can't bear the fact of somebody knowing who you are, then there are call services, like you mentioned earlier, where people don't necessarily have to know who you are. They won't know what you look like, but they are there to listen and to support you in any moment, even if it's a small moment of feeling low, or if it's in a crisis and you really do need somebody to talk to you and to help you out ASAP.
What advice would you give for some coping strategies when dealing with triggers?
So I would say initially step back from the situation that is triggering you. You know, just take a big step back from it, as though you're the outsider and you're really dissociating from the issue and from where you want to be. And just take a breath, you know, take a minute to really think about yourself. I'm putting my hands on my chest because that's what you could do, you know. You could put your hand on your heart and really feel the rhythm of your heart, you know, and just taking breaths in and breaths out until you've come back down, you know, and then understand what the trigger was, where the trigger came from, and think, okay, are you ready to face that, you know, and move on with whatever the task was, or just simply just walk away from it and do something else, because there's no point of getting yourself relaxed and then facing that trigger again, because you then can't move on to whatever the next task is.
I definitely agree with you where you say walk away from the trigger.
Yeah.
Because sometimes when you're having to process feeling triggered at that time, it's like 101 thoughts are going through your mind and you're having to make the decision what to do. And it may feel selfish to move away from the trigger, but that's actually a warrant action to do, to look after yourself. Just move away from the trigger. So I really like that tip. What advice would you give to someone or a family member who's nervous starting therapy and they've never done it before in our Black community?
Be open and be honest, because they can't help you if you're not open and honest. But then in the aspect of being open to possibilities that might happen, in terms of sometimes in therapy, you might not leave feeling the best. Sometimes you might leave feeling quite low, you know? And that is okay, because the work needs to be done. And sometimes you might leave feeling so, so happy, so excited, so elated, or like on top of the world, you know? And then sometimes you might leave being confused. There's so much that can happen and that therapy can offer, but just be open to it.
Yes, most definitely. And there are benefits to therapy. I liked where you said you might experience a bit of pain and low mood, but then it might feel amazing and awesome. And I think it's a bit like losing weight. In the beginning, it might be really hard.
Yeah.
And then the more you do it, you might start to enjoy it and then start to enjoy going to the gym. So I definitely say, like, those are some of the benefits. And it's about putting the work in.
You are listening to a sponsored podcast series produced by Think Tenacity Podcast, funded by Greenwich Mental Health Hub, which is a service run in partnership with Bromley, Lewisham and Greenwich Mind, Oxley NHS and Bridge Support.
What would you say to the Black community who are not aware of therapy in any form like this, drama or psychotherapy? How do they access therapy? How do they find out that therapy exists? Where do they go to become aware that it exists?
That's definitely something that is quite difficult to navigate if you have no idea whatsoever. So I would say you can always go to the NHS website that will have a list of the types of therapies and information about what therapies consist of. If you're looking at a specific type of therapy and a specific type of therapist, for example, if you're a Black person wanting a Black therapist, going through sort of NHS websites or any other websites might be very difficult to find, you know, a specific type of Black therapist, where you can find therapists that suit you, that are Black, that obviously then now you can then go in and then see what they specialize in. A website, which I can't remember the name of.
Oh, yes, I know that website. It's by the Black, African and Asian Therapy Network, www.baatn.org.uk.
So then it takes away the fear of not being able to find somebody or not knowing the therapist that you're going to be allocated. They could be white, they could be from anywhere, you know? And that sort of ties it in, and then you can just go through and see what they do and their specialities. But then you can always talk to people, you know? It's amazing what talking can do, you know? Just saying, oh, yeah, I've been looking into finding this, you know, therapy thing, and I'm not sure what therapy is, and I'm sure somebody, you know, will be able to tell you a little bit about it and maybe open up more about their experiences. Which is always nice, rather than just looking at online sources, because it still could make you feel unease. Whereas if you have that human contact or somebody that has the experience, it's always nice and reassuring, especially as a Black person, and the stigma around therapy.
Most definitely. And I think in our culture, in our Black community, we do very well at word of mouth. Like the storytelling you heard, if we hear another member in our community that they've experienced something, it definitely hits a green light for motivation to want to try it out.
Yeah.
So for somebody who's never experienced therapy and they're having therapy with you for the first time, drama therapy, what would you advise for them how to prepare for their first session?
Yeah, I would always say make sure that before the therapy, you have given yourself time, you know, in sense of, okay, my appointment is at 4 o'clock. Okay, maybe half an hour, maybe an hour, maybe 10 minutes, however long you feel you need to mentally prepare yourself. And obviously that is the first session, so anything could happen, you know, but just being prepared that you might be, you will at some point within the process, however long you are, you will be laying yourself bare to somebody, you know, and that comes with a lot of emotions. So just preparing yourself and thinking perhaps what it is that you want to bring to the session, And yeah, just taking some time, whether that could be meditating, giving yourself like a little massage, drinking coffee, teas, water, whatever that may be.
And what happens during the session if clients might become triggered?
I would definitely ask the person how they're feeling in terms on if they are wanting to continue with whatever the task is that we're doing. Because at the end of the day, we are wanting to explore it further and sort of gain an understanding so we can help, we can find tools and the skills to go about this trauma, this anxiety that you are feeling. And if the person feels that they are wanting to go on and continue exploring, that's fine, but we'll take it at a slower pace. You know, we'll have
Wonderful.
some types of breaks, you know, relaxations. But they are, if they are too triggered and they are having too much anxiety, then we just pause, you know. We take a break from it, we'll step back, and then we can reevaluate of what is it about what we've just done that made you feel like that? What was the particular aspect? What was the build up? How did it feel physically within you, you know? And that's a really good type of way to then really gain a bit more of an understanding of the small things that might trigger you, that then become the bigger things, and how we can sort of find the ways to nip it in the bud when it is small, so then you don't have this big outburst of anxiety, fear, and then it becomes too overwhelming for you to deal with.
What are the symptoms of trauma and anxiety that are quite common?
Yeah, so a lot of the time, it's feeling of sadness could come across as sometimes people have nightmares or want to dissociate from people, from things, perhaps from themselves. It could be physical pain, you know, the sense of feeling pain in their stomach or in their back and wanting to like being nauseous about attending things or being anywhere with certain types of group of people, a lot of anxiety and worry.
In our Black community, why do you think we have this level of shame and we struggle to share our mental illness, or if racism has affected us and we might hide our mental illness? Why do you think we struggle sometimes to share within our own Black community?
Yeah, I think that is to do with generational trauma, personally. That aspect of being the strong person, being a person that can bear a load on their back, you know? Because let's go back many, many, many moons ago when slavery occurred, and, you know, we had to do a lot of physical labor, along with the mental the mental labor that came with it. And sort of that being like, well, if those people can do it, then I'm sure we can do it now, you know? And that,
Absolutely.
yeah, that transcending all the way down being strong. And oh well, we don't suffer from those things because we're strong people. And if you have mental health that's weak, you're weak.
I would never have thought of connecting the generational trauma with slavery, where we are always told an expectation, we've got to be strong. We've got to be strong. If you do ABC, you're weak. So sometimes it is that comparison to slavery. Well,
Yeah.
if our ancestors were picking cotton for 22 hours a day, you should be strong. So I never
Exactly.
thought of that comparison and how that's trickled generation. And we do have this existence in our Black community. The moment you've seen not to be strong, you're weak. Or if your
Yeah.
feelings have hurt you, you're weak. And then that affects you if you are mentally ill. God forbid you tell anyone.
We are excited to announce group support for generational trauma and Black mental health is now available. Just visit thinktenacitypodcast.com and sign up free today. as spaces are limited.
How can we change the cultural beliefs and Black stigma we have in our community? Where can we start?
You know, facing it head on and saying, well, this is the issue. It might be hard to find what fixes the issue, but talking about it and addressing it in hope that in addressing it, the people that are, you know, suffering with their mental health and hasn't told anybody, they speak out. Because we don't want, you know, to have a bunch of Black people with mental health issues and that's just deteriorating. So if we could start by talking and those people, you know, talking out about it, speaking out about it, and then finding a way to deal with it. And I always say that no matter what type of therapy or therapist you are, no matter where you come from, that they all should be culturally competent. And think about people's races, ethnicities when they are working with people, because let's face it, there's only a handful of Black therapists. You know, and there's loads of Black people. So it's like, at some point, there's going to be a waiting list of all these Black people that want to see Black therapists. And then what happens? So therefore, we need to have all these other type of therapies and therapists to be able to help our Black people when there isn't a Black therapist to help.
And this is why we need representation, awareness of therapists like yourselves, that you do exist. And mm-hmm. that also encourages other members of the Black community who might want to go into the industry as well.
Yeah.
Why do you think it's important that Black people should have access to Black therapists?
I think it kind of does go down back to the racial trauma. If somebody is traumatized from experiences with their white counterparts, they aren't going to want to be with a white therapist, or they might think that the white therapist doesn't understand them, or the white therapist's expectations of the Black person is incorrect, and they're not getting the right treatment, which is what we have seen in the healthcare services, that Black people are being misdiagnosed. And they're just like, well, there's no point. But then it's also important sometimes for Black people to really be represented and to see themselves, or to be able to have that connection culturally with their therapist, because therapy is all about the client and therapist relationship. You know, if they can see their therapists as being part of their family group, their connections, where they feel safe in, then they can then perhaps talk more about it and, you know, really uncover more, because there is that cultural understanding.
Most definitely. We need the relatability, and that also helps the client to be more comfortable, and more Black people would be more motivated to want to seek therapy. If Madeline, you have to look after your mental health and your self-care whilst doing your role as a drama therapist, how do you manage your stress levels at work?
I'm very lucky to have a team that is very supportive. So oftentimes I will just tell them, you know, guys, I just need a break from the meeting, from the office, and I can just walk out. You know, we've got lovely fields where I am, that I can just go for a walk, you know, take a moment, like I was saying earlier, to take a step back, you know, take a step back, reevaluate the situation, take time for yourself, and to walk, especially if the weather's nice. We did have a good summer. So a lot of walking around and taking in the sun, the fresh air, and then coming back to the job with, you know, a clear head.
What's your favourite self-care activity?
I enjoy going to the gym. That is my sort of favourite self-care thing, because I know that I'm working on myself internally, you know, getting healthy. But then there's also that mental aspect of, if I've had a particularly stressful day, for me, you know, racking up a bar of weights and just, you know, doing loads of weight things allows me to sort of process my anger, my emotions, my sadness, or like things that I could do better. Really, really process that within the gym. But then I am also a big fan of journaling. I own many, many, many notebooks. I will write down. So usually after my gym session, I'll go home and then process my day, process my thoughts of what I was thinking throughout the gym. And then usually I feel more relaxed and content.
I share your passion with journaling, because I love journaling. The moment I can get those words out and it's written, it's released. There's no better feeling. So I definitely hear you on journaling. Yeah. If you had an extra hour a day for self-care or enjoyment for yourself, what would you do with that hour?
Write music. I'd write a song and find some my keyboard and create a song through that.
If you weren't working in this industry, what would be your dream job? Any job that you would love to do?
My dream job would be acting in the theatre. But I would want to be acting out plays for Black people, written by Black people, directed by Black people, and acted by Black people.
Madeline, it's been amazing having you on Think Tenacity podcast. For the audience, where can they find you? What's your website and your social media handles, please?
Yes, so my Instagram handle is mcameron.mh. I'm also on Twitter at mcameron_mh. And I also have a website which is called Time for Prosperity.
Wonderful. And we will include all your show notes in the podcast so that people can reach you and get hold of you. So thanks so much for being part of this special series. Get ready to enjoy the last episode of our podcast series, which is a bonus episode. You are listening to a sponsored podcast series produced by Think Tenacity Podcast, funded by Greenwich Mental Health Hub, which is a service run in partnership with Bromley, Lewisham and Greenwich Mind, Oxley NHS and Bridge Support. Guys, tune in to our special podcast series of 3 episodes and a bonus episode. We are excited to announce group support for generational trauma and Black mental health is now available. Just visit thinktenacitypodcast.com and sign up free today, as spaces are limited.